Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. I'm trying to see what the problem is real quick. Music keep coming in and out. But thanks, everyone, for tuning in to We Talk Productions, one of the only stations talking about black problems and black solutions. You are listening to The Elephant in the Room, and I'm your host, Shaka Zulu, a.k.a. Jamarian Harris. Today, I'm going to be discussing, well, actually, I have a new segment to my show. It's called What's Happening, Open Discussion. And the reason why I put it like that, because I wanted to have a show like this once a month to discuss anything. Anything that's on y'all minds or anything that's on my mind, we're going to talk about it. And so I wanted to start it off with, for example, like I always talk about the crack epidemic. But a lot of our people, they don't really understand. Hold on, let me cut this sound. They don't really understand how we're up under attack in terms of by the white power structure. And so hearing it from another brother like me, it comes off like, okay, I'm a conspiracy theorist, but I'm not. So I'm going to go in today, well, tonight. And so I'm going to start off with a clip. It's a two-minute clip by Ronald Siegel. He's the white man that was a neuroscientist at UCLA and in the 1970s. And he's the one, him and Dr. Julian West, they are the ones that are the creators of crack cocaine. This epidemic that we see, that we was born into, this crack epidemic, all these people that smoking crack babies, this is war. But people think war is bombs dropping and military soldiers on the streets. This is silent weapons for quiet wars. So I would like to play the first clip. This is from the horse's mouth. This is a clip from Ronald Siegel, the white neuroscientist. And matter of fact, by the way, he wrote some books. He wrote a book called Psychopharmacology, Hallucination, and Paranoia. He also wrote another book called Intoxication, the Universal Drive for Mind-Altering Substances. And so this is these are books that he has written. So this is a clip by Ronald Siegel talking about how they created crack cocaine.
Touch with a lot of the underground chemists who are synthesizing new compounds, and they send a lot of it to us for testing. We don't give them any feedback, but we like to monitor what's out there in the street. And by the way, our lab was the one who discovered the crack epidemic, and we discovered crack 13 years before the word was even introduced into the lexicon. We had monkeys smoking crack cocaine in the basement labs at UCLA 13 years before the word was invented, because we knew it was coming, and we wanted to make sure that we understood everything. We're working on the next ones already. Drugs that are out there now on the street that are not legal, not illegal, that people are looking at.
Because, and you're at UCLA?
Yes.
Yeah. Just yeah. To let listeners know, yeah, where you're speaking from.
Yes, I've been here for a long, long time. I came out here from New York because I came out here because this is one of the few places I could do LSD research at the time, and we were giving LSD and all kinds of marijuana and all kinds of other drugs to volunteers in the laboratory, and I wanted to move away from animal research and move into people who could give informed consent and volitionally agree to all the conditions of the experiments. And it was also an exciting time because lots of new epidemics have started here in California. The psychedelic revolution started here. The methamphetamine epidemic in 69-70 started here. The crack epidemic in the form of the cocaine-free base smoking started here in 1971. It hit New York in 1985. So we were always on the cutting edge of things, and it was an exciting place to be, and it still is.
Now, that was Ronald Siegel. I know some people might be tuning in, and they probably didn't quite know why I was playing that clip. That's the white guy that just admitted to testing crack cocaine on monkeys in 1971, before we even heard of crack, before it was ever created, because they are the ones that created crack cocaine in the laboratory of UCLA. And so what happened after they created crack? They released it into Los Angeles. And this is where you get the stories of Freeway, Ricky Ross, and Blandone, the Mexican guy or whatever that set him up. And people think that he's the one that created crack cocaine, but he's not. So that was that clip from Ronald Siegel. That was from the horse's mouth, because it's hard for people to believe things that other black people say when they say things like, man, a white man created crack cocaine in a laboratory. It's something that I necessarily wouldn't believe if I wasn't privy to this information. So they come out with the crack. It devastated black folks, because you got to understand cocaine was a rich man's drug because it leave you chasing and spending your money. And so they made a cheap, inexpensive form of cocaine, and they made crack out of it. And so what they did, they started passing laws like Ronald Reagan. He started passing laws like the war on drugs, which is code word for the war on black people or the war on black males. And so then he started passing crack laws, and then you have George Bush. Now, this is a very important clip right here from George Bush Sr. This was after he became president or whatever, but just check out. I'm gonna go in. I'm gonna give my commentary after this clip.
Ago by drug enforcement agents in a park just across the street from the White House. It could easily have been heroin or PCP. It's as innocent looking as candy, but it's turning our cities into battle zones. And it's murdering our children. Let there be no mistake. This stuff is poison.
Now, that was George Bush. That's just a quick clip of what George Bush was talking about. Now, he had about a half a crack cocaine in his hand on that when he was addressing the nation. It was like that. He had a half of that fire in his hand. And he said that it was a drug dealer across the street that was caught selling that crack cocaine. And he was basically saying that we got to do something about this. But what people don't know is the brother's name was Willie Horton. Willie Horton, this was like in 1988, 89. And what happened was he was lured there. He wasn't just hustling out there. He was lured there. The DA tried to set him up. And the first time that they set him up, he didn't come. But he eventually came, and they hit him with a BS crack charge. And that's the crack cocaine that George Bush was holding up, even though y'all couldn't see it. But that's what he was holding up when he was addressing the nation. Mind you, they trying to paint black people as a monster. They trying to paint us like we are the ones, we are the problems that society has. And so this is going to put it into the mind of the public, especially the white public. Yes, pass laws to lock those monsters up. Pass laws to lock those rapists up. You see, a lot of our family members got locked up as a result of these charges and of these laws. And just like Bill Clinton, the clip I'm about to play real quick with Bill Clinton, Bill Clinton made the three strikes and you out law. He created the three strikes and you out. Now, everybody loves some Bill Clinton. Black folks love some Bill Clinton. But at the same time, they don't understand politics. They really don't understand it. Bill Clinton passed the crime bill of 1994. This is the bill that gave you three strikes and you out, mandatory minimums, and I might be missing one other thing. Now, prior to 1994, you didn't have mandatory minimums. people get sentenced to 10 years, for example, and they might do two, they might do four. But with mandatory minimums, you got structured sentencing, which means 8 to 11 years, or 6 to 8 years, or 10 to 15. But you got to do that. It's mandatory that you do that minimum. You're gonna do at least 10 of that 15. You're gonna do at least 8 of that 11. It ain't back in the day you got sentenced to 11 and you do 3, 4, 5, and 6. So he made it that 3 strikes and you out. And a lot of black folks suffered as a result of that, especially the black fathers. And so this is a clip right here from Bill Clinton, because you got to play stuff. That's what I like about my show. It ain't just me talking. I like to play little clips so you can hear it from the horse's mouth. So this is Bill Clinton so-called apologizing about the crime bill. But listen to him real quick. This is like 1 minute and 55 seconds.
Violent crime in America had tripled in the previous 30 years, and the police force had only increased by 10%. So we put 100,000 more police on the streets so they could be tied to the community. And we passed the Brady Bill and the assault weapons ban, which had a ammunition limit on the clips, as I remember, of about 10 bullets. And we passed funds to give people something to say yes to in the after-school areas. Hours, not just to say no to. But in that bill, there were longer sentences. And most of these people are in prison under state law, but the federal law set a trend. And that was overdone. We were wrong about that. That percentage of it, we were wrong about. So the good news is, we had the biggest drop in crime in history and the first 8-year decline in crime in history. The bad news is we had a lot of people who were essentially locked up, who were minor actors for way too long. And when I was in office at the end of my term, we took care of some of them, the so-called girlfriend cases in drug busts, where all these young women, many of whom weren't even involved in any drug transactions, wouldn't rat out their boyfriends, and so they wound up getting set up the river, and then the boyfriend would sometimes rat out somebody else and get a shorter sentence than the woman did. So we reviewed them all and tried to correct that problem. But the larger problem is the one President Obama is now trying to address, those people who just have sentences that cannot be justified by their length compared to what they did. And that's important.
That was a short clip by Bill Clinton, so-called admitting indirectly to destroying millions of black lives. Now, as you heard, he just said that it's something called the girlfriend law, personally, that he said, which was that girlfriends of drug dealers got more time, and the system was more harsh towards them, even if they didn't know their boyfriend sold drugs. Because like he said, the boyfriends could snitch on somebody else and get lesser time. She get her children taken away, even if she did not know he sold drugs. Bill Clinton knew exactly what he was doing. He's pandering like his wife. She panders to black folks. Say things that they want to hear, but don't do anything about it when they get in office. Now, this is even more of a smack in the face. Bill Clinton is, because you know he's famous for playing the saxophone on the Arsenio Hall show. And so he must be in touch with his black side, I guess. He's inducted into the Arkansas Black Hall of Fame. He's like, I don't know if y'all understand what I'm saying. He's the only white guy that is inducted into the Arkansas Black Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And people love them some Bill Clinton. And can't understand that and his wife, Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton said Margaret Sanger is my hero. Margaret Sanger, for black folks that don't know, she's the white woman that said black children are like little weeds. They need to be weeded out. They make our society look bad. So she's the one that came up with the abortion clinics called Planned Parenthood. But before it was called Planned Parenthood, it was called the Negro Project, like I said before. So, and they in Haiti, the Clintons, the Clinton Foundation, they in Haiti buying up a lot of things in Haiti, and a lot of those people over there are doing real, real bad because of the Clintons. Like, they some dirty, dirty people, you know. So that's just Bill Clinton and, you know, the crack epidemic and how they gave people time for crack. Like, they give us, they give you five times the sentence for crack than cocaine. Like, if you get caught with a gram of crack, you would have to get caught with 5, maybe 10 grams of cocaine, 10 grams of cocaine being equivalent to that 1 gram of crack. You see? So they structured the sentence based on the demographics of black folks and what, how they know they could get us locked up. And, you know, prison is a whole other story. And so that's just with the crack epidemic. And so for the people tuning in, I had played Ronald Siegel, the white guy that created crack cocaine in UCLA in 1971 by testing it on monkeys. I played George Bush of him holding a bag of that fire up, like a quarter of some crack, and then he said he claimed that the police found with a black brother by the name of Willie Horton across the street from the White House trying to sell drugs. And Bill Clinton admitted basically how his crime bill was bad. And so, like I said, today's subject matter is what's happening, open discussion, and I'm going to get to the callers in a second, in a minute. Like I said, if y'all didn't tune in, this episode is once a week that I'm doing, once a month, and it's just discussing anything, anything in the black community, anything in the world. We could talk about anything. So I'm going to go ahead and switch gears real fast. And this right here is what I'm about to go to is basically genetic annihilation. Black folks are scientifically illiterate, and it's very hard to explain things to them a lot. So what I did, I found this clip of David Duke. He's a grand wizard of the KKK, can't stand black people. And he's talking about preserving his people because by 2050, it ain't going to be that many white people as it is now. And they're not having that many babies. And they know 200, 300 years from now, it might not be no white people on this planet. And whether you could believe that or not, they know that. And so what they do, as not all white people, but the elite whites, the people at the top, what they do, they come together into their think tanks and they produce institutions to carry out their plans and their goals. They don't just sit at the table like black folks and talk. They actually talk about things, put money into institutions to carry out what their projections were. So I'm going to let David Duke speak, and then I'm going to expound on it after he say what he's about to say. This is like 45 seconds.
The Associated Press just reported that whites are now a minority of those being born in America. European-American babies are less than 5 out of every 10 babies born, and are projected to be less than 1 out of 10 births in just a few decades. This differential in birth rates, coupled with massive illegal immigration, which is almost entirely non-European, and legal immigration, which is over 90% non-European, means that unless a political sea change occurs, white Americans will ultimately be not only a minority in the nation that our people founded, but a tiny minority, well on its way to political and physical obliteration by the end of this century.
All right, that was David Duke. That was a short clip on him basically talking about how it's an emergency amongst white people for them to just pay attention to what's going on to their birth rate. Now there's a lot of black folks that know this, but it's more black folks that don't. So I'm talking to the black people that doesn't know this information or that's not privy. When we wondering all these police shootings that's going on, we wondering about all this racism on steroids that's going on. Women getting roughed up by the police, shot down. Brothers getting shot in their apartments and things like that. And you have to understand and go into this, like, what is in white, what's pushing and what's driving them to do this? What's the reason for all this? And so I played that clip for a reason because I'm trying to go somewhere. White folks knew that their birth rate was declining since the late 1800s. This is why in the early 1900s they got together, and you got Francis Galton and Margaret Sanger, because Francis Galton, he's the father of eugenics, which basically is scientific racism what's good stock and bad stock. To them, bad stock is all people of color. Good stock is white people. And so they try to come up with ways how to get rid of black people out of the gene pool in terms of how to kill them but without killing them, if you can understand what I'm saying. How can we kill them but without them knowing that we're killing them? And how can we do it in a silent way, like silent weapons for quiet wars? And so they know about their – they tried having as many children as possible. That didn't work. They eventually ended up at the stage where they're at now, which is artificial insemination and, test tube births, you know, things like that, and other things also. And so we have to understand this. And so since you have the Global 2000 report. The Global 2000 report was legislation in 1978 in the Carter administration, signed by Secretary of State Henry Kissinger. Now, the Global 2000 report in 1978 was basically what it says, 2000. By the year 2000, they wanted to see, they wanted to know the projection of the population in the world in 1978. And their goal, the elite, the whites that run the world, they, their goal was to get rid of two billion plus people on the planet by the year 2000, even though they was unsuccessful. But the, because they seen where the most births was in the world. And so, now mind you, I'm just the messenger. So, you know, I'm just explaining like how sick these people are. And, you know, it leads me to explain it, and it's hard for other people to believe it. And so they have projections, like the Global 2000 report, to curb the population by the year 2000. So HIV/AIDS was a part of that. Because like I said before, AIDS was called GRIDS, gay-related infectious disease. But the government found out that it was coming from the homosexuals. So what they did, they said, hey, let's say it came from a green monkey in Africa. And so a lot of people in Africa died from the polio vaccine from Hillary Koprowski, and which comes from the tissue of a monkey, the kidneys of a monkey, the tissue of a monkey kidney. And a lot of these people, it was called the SV40, that they shot a million plus of these Africans up with in the Congo. And so 25 years later, a lot of these black folks in the Congo died, like in 1982. But around that same time in 1982, those Africans died from the polio vaccine. You had these homosexuals with the gay parades and the gay lifestyle and the drug use and using amyl nitrate. You know, it make their anus dilate, and they ended up catching diseases and many things. And so the test that used to come up, that the main group of people that's coming up with this disease are gay homosexual people because of their lifestyle. And so they called it GRIDS, gay-related infectious disease. The CDC found out about it. The Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, they found out about it. And they said, which those racist people, they said, hey, let's say, because you know those million Africans died. They got shot up with that polio in 57 and they died in 82. Now, let's reverse it and say that don't call it GRIDS, let's call it AIDS. And as a matter of fact, we're not going to say it came from the gay community. We're going to turn around and embrace the homosexual community. You see? And so here they come with the HIV test by Margaret Heckler, a white woman. You know, they come in with the HIV. All this is a part of the Global 2000 report because they wanted to curb the population of the undesirable people. You see, so she came out with the HIV test, which is flawed. You see, because you could be HIV positive in North Carolina and you could be HIV negative in South Carolina. Why? Because the HIV test is not standardized, meaning that like the SAT test or certain tests that we take in this country is standardized, meaning that all 50 states take the same test. Well, the HIV test is not standardized. That means it's different methodologies to test someone for HIV. And you see, so that's just that. That's a part of the Global 2000 report. That's a part of the white birth rate declining. Now, this is a clip from Bill Gates. Listen very carefully. I'm going to get to the callers in a minute. This is Bill Gates talking like it's a normal day at the office. Now, the whole point of me playing this footage is Bill Gates is basically talking about how we need to get down to almost zero population. because there's too many people on this planet. We're taking up too many resources. If anybody believes in that, that's crazy. And so listen to how I wanted to, it's 3 minutes. I wanted to shorten it, but I thought about it because he's talking about it like it's the normal day at the office. Like, we need to get, just listen to how he's talking, because there's a lot I got to say after this. This is Bill Gates.
We need to meet a new constraint, and that constraint has to do with CO2. CO2 is warming the planet, and the equation on CO2 is actually a very straightforward one. If you sum up the CO2 that gets emitted, that leads to a temperature increase, and that temperature increase leads to some very negative effects. The effects on the weather, perhaps worse, the indirect effects in that the natural ecosystems can't adjust to these rapid changes, and so you get ecosystem collapses. Now, the exact amount of how you map from a certain increase in of CO2 to what temperature will be and where the positive feedbacks are, there's some uncertainty there, but not very much. And there's certainly uncertainty about how bad those effects will be, but they will be extremely bad. I asked the top scientists in this several times, do we really have to get down to near zero? Can't we just, you know, cut it in half or a quarter? And the answer is that until we get near to zero, the temperature will continue to rise. And so that's a big challenge. It's very different than...
Now, listen, he's saying we need to get near to zero because he's saying all these carbon emissions coming from the cars and the other things that we use, it's so much being put into the Earth's atmosphere. And so he's saying something need to come down to zero. But keep listening, because I can't believe it.
Saying, you know, we're a 12-foot high truck trying to get under a 10-foot bridge, and we can just sort of squeeze under. This is something that has to get to zero. Now, we put out a lot of carbon dioxide every year, over 26 billion tons. For each American, it's about 20 tons. For people in poor countries, it's less than one ton. It's an average of about 5 tons for everyone on the planet. And somehow we have to make changes that will bring that down to zero. It's been constantly going up. It's only various economic changes that have even flattened it at all. So we have to go from rapidly rising to falling and falling all the way to zero. This equation has four factors, a little bit of multiplication. So you've got a thing on the left, CO2, that you want to get to zero, and that's going to be based on the number of people, the services each person's using on average, the energy on average for each service, and the CO2 being put out per unit of energy. So let's look at each one of these and see how we can get this down to zero. Probably one of these numbers is going to have to get pretty near to zero. That's back from high school algebra. But let's take a look. First, we've got population. The world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, that's headed up to about...
Now, did you hear? Now, he said we got to get... Something got to come down to zero. See, because if I just say this, people ain't going to believe me. My people, we don't research. We don't do any of that. So... This dude, and he's just a puppet, but he's speaking to people because you got to tell people, and sometimes that's like me coming telling you, look, in a nice way, I'm going to rob you. Like, look, now, see, there's a lot of people with money in this country, so what we should do, they have to almost come down to $0. So if I just come in your house and I just put a gun to you, just give me the money. Like, it's that easy. But he's talking about getting the population down to zero. And so they must keep putting this out there. They must keep hammering it in people's heads. It's too many people on the planet. It's too much resources getting used. It's not that much food. It's too many people. But we don't even understand. It's 325 plus million people in the United States of America. Only 5% of the land is inhabited by people. 95% of the United States is rural land. It's rural areas. Trees, some desert. Some swamp, 95% of the United States is uninhabited. 5% of the United States is inhabited. What am I saying? This means you could take all the people on the planet. Forget Texas. You could take all the people on the planet and put them in the state of North Carolina, where I live at currently, and we would still have a lot of room. But these people are convincing us that there's too many people on the planet because white folks know that their numbers ain't up. Because you have too many older white folks than younger white folks. In order for your group of people to survive, in order for Chinese people, black people, white people, Arab people, in order for them to survive, you have to have a younger group of people that's more of them than it is older people, because they're going to replace the older people. You can't have more older people than younger people. According to Pew Research Center in the United States, there's more adult diapers bought than child diapers, than baby diapers. That's according to Pew Research Center. So all this is very important, because once you understand, overstand, and understand that their numbers is down, once you understand 200, 300, 400, 500 years from now, ain't going to be no such thing as a white person. And people that think, well, why is it? Because they did something wrong? Because my cousin asked me that before. It's not necessarily because of that. They don't get enough sunlight. Well, their skin and the UVB rays come from the sun. They have folic acid in their blood. The sun rays, the UVB rays, affects their folic acid, which in turn affects white men's sperm count, which in turn, by the UVB rays affecting the folic acid in people, white people's blood, which in turn affect the white female's egg count. They have recessive genes. So this is why white people, it's some that can have quite a few kids, but their numbers are below replacement. Now, this comes from them. Focus on what I just said. White folks' numbers are below replacement. This means that they can have 10 babies. Every white person can have 10 babies apiece starting today. The only thing they will do is prolong them going out of existence in terms of that skin color. People think what I'm saying is racist. It's not racist. It's simple biology. It's not nothing. It's scientific biology. They have recessive genes, which in turn, I forgot the gene, but it's something responsible for aggression. I want to say SRS2, some type of gene that's in white folks that makes them very aggressive. And this is because of the lack of melanin and what they've done, and they ignore it psychologically in terms of what's been done to blacks and what's continued to be done because they're white privilege card. And so Bill Gates, just listen to what Bill Gates said once again. I had to play it again.
9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, health care, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%. But there we see an increase.
He said if we do a really good job, we can perhaps lower that population that he was speaking about, the 6.5 to 7, 9 billion. He said if we do a really good job on vaccines, we can perhaps lower that by 10 to 15%, like a normal day in the office. You see? So black folks, once you realize, let's say I'm lying. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm a conspiracy theorist. Ask yourself this question. If you knew, or if I knew this to be true, what can I do or what will I do, at least as an individual? If this is true, you see? And so let me get to the, let me see if anybody have anything to say. I see a couple of callers. I see the sister call. You have anything to say, sister, last 4 digits, 3402? You don't have anything to say?
Not the second.
Okay. All right. If any other callers have anything to say, just press the 1, and I can see you raising your hand. Bill Gates talking about depopulation as if it was a normal day at the office. If we perhaps get the population down by 10, 15%, because if they do a good job on the vaccines. Now, is this why 2.3 million women in Kenya came up sterilized by the polio vaccine that's done through the Melinda and Bill Gates Foundation? And the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation was kicked out of Kenya, out of Africa, because 2.3 million women came up sterilized, and they had a chemical agent in that polio vaccine. I think it was ACG. I forgot what it stands for, but that's the chemical that was in it. It's a sterilizing agent. And you see, so these people, racism has been refined. It's not like it used to be before. It's not in your face. It's subtle. Racism is no longer letters like no blacks allowed, whites only. It's no longer letters. Now it's numbers. Now it's your credit score. Now it's how many of them is dying off faster than us. How many of them going to be here versus who still going to be? It's numbers now. You see, it's different. I've heard white women say they called for, they went to go get an apartment. They didn't have to have any references. You black, they're going to scrutinize all your information. That's white privilege. You see, in the most subtle form, it's not in your face. So this is footage of, I know y'all heard of the sister that was, that had her neck sliced by the race soldier, the white guy in San Francisco, the sister named Nia Wilson, beautiful sister. She was 18 years of age. She was with, I believe, her cousin or her niece or something, or her little sister. And they was walking or whatever. The white man came up to her and just, you know, he was a race soldier, mad, thinking his country, you know, saying his country, thinking his country getting taken away from him. And so this is footage. I wanted to play this because there's a lot of weak black men out here. I've met black men in my life when I was in the streets that'll bust you in the head. I met black men that'll fight. Yo, my hands is tremendous. My hands is this. Anybody could get it. My name ring bells. I done heard it all and seen it all. And I've seen some dudes that really ain't scared in terms of another man, another black man. But when the police come around, and I'm not saying we should be all disrespectful, but when the police come around, their tail go between their legs. Or when it's time for us to get up and fight for our sisters and fight and do something constructive, man, see, man, the white man going to kill you, man. Do you know how many times I had some of my friends and some other people that know me tell me, man, you better stop talking like that, man. They're going to kill you, man. Do you know what that tells me? That tells me, man, don't mess with Massa. Look, you better just go fishing with your kids and go to the fair and just enjoy. Man, just look, don't mess with Massa. But they don't understand because they look at themselves as fingers and not a fist. I see ourselves as a fist, even though I know some of us look at ourselves as individuals. But a lot of our men are cowards. And this is footage of the sister's godfather speaking. This is like a few seconds. I had to play it. I called my cousin up a few weeks ago, but I never got back to him. I was so angry, man. I'm so angry. I was so angry, right? After y'all play this, I was so angry. I ain't even want to harm the white dude to kill the sister. I wanted him. I want this dude right here, this black dude that's her godfather. Because he got paid to say what I'm about to play. Check this out. I'm about to play it now. This is Neil Wilson's godfather after she got killed. This is him speaking in front of the police.
Unfortunately, we have to help our own people right now. We have to support a lot of things to do to community problems. This is special. This is family. They didn't ask to share this staff. Those are baby girls of our children. So we need the community, especially the African American community, to stand down right now. I'm in fear right now. We don't know if this is racist. We don't know if it was random. We don't know what it was. But we asked the African American community to stand down right now. Let's get this information to find out what really happened. Let's find out the right facts. So then we have to the situation. If anything, please share the post, look at the pictures, come out again. We have an individual stay at the board station before this day. We will be passing our flyers with this picture on there. We need the community involved. We need your help. You don't need us to break down right now as crazy, tear up our city, or do anything that's crazy right now. Our family needs prayer. We need support.
So,
who paid them? That's all I got to say. Who paid him? Now, I know y'all didn't look at the footage visually, but it was two police officers on the side of him in the background. Now, if my family member, my loved one just got killed, right? You think the first thing I'm going to say is, black folks, y'all calm down. We don't know what happened. We don't know if it were racist. We don't know what the motive was. We don't need any of anybody tearing up their own city. Yo, dude, I ain't even going to say what I would do on the radio. Yo, that's some yo, who paid him? You know them white folks got that black coward to stand up there to say what he just said. The first thing he said, I'm going to need y'all to calm down. White supremacy, white folks, the white power structure use our people to calm us down. You would never hear, you could never get a white person to turn on another white person. You can never do that. You can never get black people to get another white person to do another white person in, to get up there and say, no, we don't know if black people just mad at us. You will never get that. But this is the cowards. These are cowards, and they get the NAACP to come in after a brother get killed, like the brother here in Raleigh, North Carolina, got killed like 2 years ago on Bragg Street. The first thing they do is come with the NAACP. Big fat William Barber. Looked like he got type 13 diabetes. That's the first one they get to come in to calm you down, to calm you Negroes down. You see? And so that's just crazy, man. We got to be men. You know, I ain't saying kill white people. I ain't saying hate white people. I'm saying realize what's going on. Change begins with self. But also realize what's happening, and you can be more mindful of it, and you can avoid it. You can't stop everything, and you can't help everybody. But at the same time, you could change somebody's mind. You could contribute to something positive, because this is some real stuff, man. These folks trying to get rid of us. Now, look, I'm going to switch. Now, let me see, get to the callers one real quick, because I got another clip. Caller, last four digits, 1718. Do you have anything to say? What's your name and where you calling from? I unmuted you. Last four digits, 1718.
Oh, this is Khalid.
Oh, what's up with you, brother?
I'm all right, man. How you feeling?
Man, did you have anything to say?
Not at all, really. I'm just listening. I'm agreeing with most of the things you're saying. Honestly, I called in a little late, but you know, I'm hearing everything you're saying, man.
Okay, appreciate it, brother. I'm gonna get back to the rest of it. I got about 13 minutes left.
All right.
Appreciate it.
All right, no problem.
And so, we have to be better than that. We have to be better than that. We can't be cowards, man. They got that. They got the gob. How does that look? These white folks know how it is. When you get a person of their family telling you that, even though he's her godfather, calm down. That's the first thing he's saying, calm down. And the footage played further when he was talking about it's not like she got shot by the police. He said it was. He said it was a knife. He said it ain't like she got shot by the police. Like, yo, that's what made me want to get at him right there when he said that. Now, I'm going to switch it up because y'all know that Trump cut. For the people that are just tuning in, like I said, today's show is the only episode once a month. It's called What's Happening, Open Discussion, and I'm basically talking about everything that's going on, things that already happened. I'm not just limited to one subject matter, one topic. So, on other shows I had before, people had asked me a question that don't have nothing to do with the subject matter. And so what I did, I said, you know what, I'm going to make a segment once a month to where we just chop it up. I just talk about everything or whatever we want to talk about. So this is just like a little clip reel here because, you know, Trump cut food stamps in 2017. And for people don't know that how law works, when things get passed, it don't happen right then. It don't come into effect right then. It could come into effect a year, two, 3 years later. So Trump cut welfare, and he basically abolishing HUD in 2019, which is human, which is housing and urban development. And he's abolishing HUD. That's where you get your housing based on income, Section 8 from. He's abolishing that in 2019, and he's cutting food stamps by $17 billion, but by $7 billion initially. And what he did, he put it into the defense budget, because you know the defense budget is like $696 billion. And he took $4 billion initially, which kicked in, matter of fact, October the 20th of this year, October the 20th of 2018, some of the budget kicked in. And so, but like I said, he cut it by $4 billion initially. And so this is a little clip reel here, real fast, expounding on the food boxes that people are going to get in the mail instead of a food stamp card. And so this is just a quick clip right here.
Trump has rolled out his recent budget proposal, and of course, it includes deep cuts to social programs and social safety nets, including Medicare and Medicaid. Another target for the Trump administration is the food stamp program, which low-income families rely on in order to put food on the table for their children. Now, recently, Mick Mulvaney, who is the White House budget director, was speaking about this during a press conference, and listened to the proposal that he just made. Take a listen.
What we do is propose that for folks who are on food stamps, part, not all, part of their benefits come in the actual sort of, and I don't want to steal somebody's copyright, but a blue apron type program where you actually receive the food instead of receive the cash. It lowers the cost to us because we can buy prices at wholesale where whereas they have to buy it in retail. It also makes sure that they're getting nutritious food. So we're pretty excited about that.
So he used the brand Blue Apron, which, by the way, delivers fresh ingredients to consumers who purchase their product. But that is not what would happen under the model that the Trump administration is proposing. Now, keep in mind that the Trump administration proposed cutting food stamps by $17 billion in 2019 and more than $213 billion over the next decade. So if you think that the government would deliver fresh, delicious food to people who need food stamps, of course, you'd be wrong. Under the Trump proposal, which the Agriculture Department has dubbed America's Harvest Box, all households receiving more than $90 per month in benefits, that's 81% of SNAP households overall, would begin receiving about half their benefits in the form of government-purchased, non-perishable food items. So what falls under the category of non-perishable food items? Are those fresh foods that are healthy and nutritious for people? No, of course not. It includes shelf-stable milk, juice, grains, cereal, pasta, peanut butter, beans, and canned meat, fruit, and vegetables.
Only canned ones.
Because
now, that's just talking about the budget cuts to food stamps, because a lot of our lives are going to be affected. You know, especially I think the children really need it. The elderly, they really need it. The handy, disabled, they really need it. But there's a lot of able-bodied people that don't need it, and they just use it and they sell it. So, but once again, food stamps and welfare weren't meant to really help you out. It was made to keep you on it, because that's another form, that's another strategy of war. Because Pew Research Center did a study that, and they showed that 96 out of 100% of people that's on welfare and food stamps, only 96% of them, they remain on it for the rest of their lives, some way directly or indirectly, and only 4% making it to the middle class. So it's basically made to keep you on it. It's never meant to help you. And so this is a quick clip real fast, because she was just talking about food boxes. This is a woman that actually received a food box. Now, this ain't in all states yet, but it's coming to a theater near you. So listen to this real quick. This is a lady that actually received one of the food boxes.
Okay, y'all. I got a box today. Barbecue, pork, ribs, And these is the biscuits. Hey, y'all, check the biscuits out. Look at the biscuits. These biscuits. Oh, yeah, let me see that. That's my soup we got to eat. Let me show you. Let me see the soup, my color. That's supposed to be soup. This is the soup, y'all. My load is right. This is the soup, y'all. Yeah, that we supposed to eat. And two of these came, two of those is in the box, too. Show me that's fucked up, y'all. I can't believe this shit, though. You gonna take our shit away. Give us some more dried ass biscuits. Look at this goddamn biscuit, y'all. Look at this shit. Look at that shit. Look at that. So this is what we're gonna replace our food stamp with. Okay? But I don't get those motherfuckers no way, so fuck you, Trump. I don't get no fuck, fuck you. You know what I'm saying? You ain't doing me no goddamn favor. You could have kept all this shit in this box. You know, and our food is going to come from UPS. We're going to get our shit delivered in the mail. Look at that biscuit. Hey, can somebody call Trump and tell him that? Ask him why the fuck our biscuit so goddamn hard. Look at that shit. Tell everybody, we're going to be there. Easy open now. People going to be easy open. But this shit going to get real, y'all.
And see, that's what I was saying. Like, that's a sister. They done got the food box. And so life is about to change, like, dramatically, and a lot of our people ain't ready for it. And me personally, I think that is a good thing. Not the fact that Trump is doing it because he ain't never got nothing good planned for black folks. I'm not giving him no props, nothing like that. I'm saying, because you got to understand, the Democrats and the Republicans, they playing games with us. I call them Republicrats. It's a two-headed monster, and the shit come out the same asshole. They playing games with us. See, Republicans, the conservatives, they'll let you know, okay, we for our own. We ain't really for the blacks. Now, the Democrats, they're the more liberals. They'll act like they on your side. We marched with Martin Luther King, like Bernie Sanders in the when he was running in the primaries with Hillary Clinton. And they were showing footage of Bernie Sanders holding hand, holding arm, linked up arm and arm with other black folks, right? And to black folks, they look like they down to earth. Like, I marched in the civil rights movement, so they play games with us. Lyndon B. Johnson, he's the one that passed the Welfare Act of 1964. And he said, I quote, I'll have those niggas voting Democratic for 200 years. And also, Lyndon B. Johnson called the civil rights bill the nigger bill. Why would he always say that? And he's the reason why we get welfare food stamps to this day. Because it keep those people from competing with the whites, you see? And so they have many things that's going on. They have many things in place to keep us in the position that we're in. And like the police shootings in Chicago, the police shootings and these other brothers supposedly shooting themselves. Now, you ain't going to tell me anything. You ain't going to tell me nothing. I know good and well some of those brothers is shooting each other. That's really true. But at the same time, all those brothers ain't shooting each other. You ain't telling me that. You had a case in Ohio. Y'all be quiet. You have a case in Ohio where a white dude, he had on a black mask, and he ordered the mask offline. He ordered the mask online from a special effects place like in Hollywood or somewhere in California. And they sent it was $600, and it covers his hands to his wrist from his face to his neck to his chest, and he robbed 6 banks, and the only reason why he got caught is because his girlfriend told on him. But they were looking for a black man. He had the face and everything. He had the shades on and everything, and they were looking for a black man. And so I'm using that case to let y'all know that something is fishy going on in Chicago. You know, you got Obama's main man, Rahm Emanuel. He's the mayor there. He's a small hat, a Jew. He's there. They trying to regentrify that area where a lot of black people is concentrated in. And there's a lot of depolicing that's going on in Chicago. What I mean by that is a lot of less police activity around in these areas, which could supposedly stop crime or curb crime. According to the Illinois Department of Justice, in 2015, you had 235,000 investigatory stops. whereas the police had stopped cars, whether they were black or whatever. The police stopped cars, whether they were suspicious about it, and they investigated the car. They searched the car. It was 235,000 investigatory stops. But Rahm Emanuel made it to where these police had to fill out so much paperwork. Like, I'm talking about for a simple traffic ticket, the police got to fill out a book damn near. Maybe not a book, but a whole lot of paperwork. And that demoralized a lot of the police officers. Like, it made them not want to do their job. Like, man, why would I want to get him for stealing? Why would I want to stop him for this? Because I'm going to have paperwork for days. So as a result of that, it went from 235,000 investigatory stops to 35,000 investigatory stops in 2016. That means that the police don't even care about no shootings. And I think there's a military co-op thing that's going on in Chicago, personally. Because I hear brothers that's from Chicago, they be telling me, they be like, yo, they got crates. You'll walk up to a crate, and they got guns in the crates. But ain't no gun stores in Chicago. They don't sell bullets in Chicago. Where's all these brothers getting those guns from? We don't see that. We just see the news. But if you keep your ears to the street, you'll start to understand something. In Chicago or in Cook County, they don't have no gun stores or any bullets. They don't sell bullets. But they got all these military weapons. How they get all these Uzis and all these AK-47s and all these other assault weapons? How they get there with the bullets when there's no – and gun laws is way strict than it is here in North Carolina, over there in Illinois. So, you know, we got to straighten up, people, man. And so, you know, and I had – let me see. I wanted to play this right quick, but, you know, I only got 3 minutes. So I'm going to go ahead and end my show. I hope y'all enjoyed my show. Join me next week as I talk about the elephant in the room when dealing with self-hatred, because you know black folks, we suffer from a lot of self-hatred in different ways. Thank you everyone for tuning in to the Elephant in the Room. Continue to listen every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Please remember to connect with me at ZuluNation80@gmail.com or call me at 919-298-0272. Also, if you want to be a guest on the show, you could contact me and call me at that same contact information I just gave. You've been listening to The Elephant in the Room. I'm your host, Shaka Zulu, a.k.a. Jamarian Harris, on We Talk Productions, Black Solutions for Black Problems.